dumps it off for a first down. Throws it, fakes the spike. In the end zone, touchdown! Whoa! Jordan Lasley! The legend of Josh Rosen!
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap! And the ball is free! It's picked up by Michigan State!
Optional. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're good out there enjoying the wonderful weather outside. Kim English is going to join us here in just a second. New Tennessee assistant basketball coach under Rick Barnes came from a bunch of different places, actually. I think it's going to be great for him in Knoxville. Excited to have him on. He's been at Colorado. He's been with Tulsa. He has a long history of college basketball and NBA days as well. Won a Big 12 tournament at Missouri. Excited to have him on today. We're going to go right off the bat here in just a minute. He'll be calling in, and we'll get this thing rolling. Nick Bromberg is going to join us right at 2:05. It's NASCAR. It's Talladega this weekend. Had people hitting up my DMs. They actually liked the conversation. So I'm doing it. We're doing it. 2:05, we're going to discuss that. Brandon Johns is in the house. Hey, BJ, how are you?
I'm doing well, Trey. You feeling a little better?
I'm getting there. Yeah, my head's still all messed up. Hay fever. But other than that, yeah, we're good.
Welcome to the wonderful East Tennessee allergy
season.
Yeah,
we're good. We're good. There's a lot of stuff going on. The Predators blew it last night. I stayed up and watched that crap, and it just seemed like a whole offensive flurry from Dallas, so that was unfortunate. We'll talk about that more, I promise. What a disappointment that has been. From Stanley Cup Finals in 2017 to second-round exit to now first-round exit in the NHL, that is a disappointment. We'll talk about that today. We'll take your phone calls on that. Do you care? Like, that's something to look at it as well. Do you care? Well, there's Ben Lee live on the air and wanting to talk. That sure is interesting. Thank you to him for doing that. But Kim Inglis is going to be joining us right now, actually, and we'll have things rolling along. Excited for this one. Ben is getting everything set back up with the internet, so I appreciate him very much as well. Looking forward to this one as well. Brandon Johns, we will have a partial Game of Thrones preview later on, but excited now to welcome new Tennessee assistant coach for the volunteer basketball team. Kim English joins us this afternoon. Coach, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you coming on. First, welcome to Knoxville. Have you had time to even get settled down yet in the town, or you kind of been on the road and trying to grow this basketball team?
Yeah, been on the road, definitely trying to fill some possible holes on the next two ball teams, and we found a home. I'm actually on the way driving to the house now. My wife's been getting some packages delivered, and we get to move in tomorrow. And but it's been great. It's been great. I haven't got to explore as much as I'd like to, but it's a beautiful place and some really awesome people here in Knoxville.
That's fantastic. Coach, going back and looking at everything that you accomplished at Missouri as a player, and trying to transition that into helping these young student athletes here, you won a Big 12 men's basketball tournament at Missouri. You set it. You had a bunch of different accolades as well, and you really set a tone of what you were trying to do as well underneath the Tigers. And then you kind of moved on to the NBA. Talk to me a little bit about what it was like and how you're going to be able to, in your mind, since winning a title like that at Missouri and having a playing career as big as you did, how's that going to transition in your mind, do you think, to these young players that Tennessee has currently on the roster?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we won the Big 12 tournament my freshman year, and yeah, we won it again my senior year. But, I mean, I don't like to talk about my playing days much with the guys. You know, I'm really just focusing on how we can make them the best players they can be. The fact that I'm still fairly young and I can get out on the court and demonstrate moves or exercises or, or positioning or footwork, I think it goes a long way. But it's not about me. You know, it's not about, about what I did as a player. I mean, I know the guys have somewhat of a respect. I mean, that I did play I played at this level in the Big 12, and I did make it to the NBA. But, you know, I hope they draw more from the fact that I didn't make it in the NBA. I do know what it takes to get there, but I didn't do a great job on capitalizing on opportunities to stay there. So if anything I can give these guys, any player that I've had in the past, is teaching them the habits of what it looks like of a guy that has a 10, 15-year career in the NBA.
That's a great point. And also looking at your time at Tulsa and then also Colorado, getting into the coaching world of this thing, and you kind of hit on it as well. You're a young man. It works out to benefit you, and I think in a lot of different ways. And being able to take these steps that you have, I think it goes back, in my personal opinion, to show your work ethic. But over the last few years, and getting started in the coaching world, what are some of the things that you learned at Tulsa and Colorado that's going to transition over to Tennessee basketball and being able to be that assistant that Rick Barnes needs? And we know how much he loves his assistant coaches, especially Rob Lanier, who just left. But what in your mind do you think you could bring to the program in regards to your previous stops?
Yeah, come from a two places where we really tried to identify and recruit really good kids that had an insatiable work ethic. And Coach Barnes, back to his days at Texas, I've known all of his players, they got better. Player development is so critically important to the success of this program. Ranked number one in the country for 4 weeks this year with zero top 100 players. Like, you've heard that once, you've heard it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
But now, with the success of Tennessee basketball the last two seasons, the history of Tennessee basketball, coupled with, it just happens to be the guy that coached Kevin Durant and DJ Augustine and PJ Tucker and now Grant Williams and Jordan Bone and Admiral Schofield. Now that player development mantra, that work ethic, is hopefully going to be coupled with some really, really good prep recruits. And I think the ceiling for this program is limitless, and I'm really excited to join these guys and get to work.
Kim, when you're out on the road recruiting, and I know you've only been on the job for a certain amount of days at Tennessee, but maybe even picking up the phone and talking to some of these young players. What did last season and the previous seasons for Tennessee do in your mind to help recruiting, and especially in the SEC, where it just seems like so many teams are getting better, especially with the coaches they are hiring? But what do you think, after watching Tennessee last year, maybe from afar at times whenever you had a chance, but has it calculated yet into something where you were able to sell to these recruits in the program of Tennessee?
Well, winning is fun. Winning is fun. And Tennessee won 57 games the last two seasons, and I think that was – and they won an SEC championship, and they should have went to the Sweet 16 two seasons ago. They did get to the Sweet 16 this last year and was one play away from the Elite Eight. And the excitement that I'm hearing around the country is unbelievable, and rightfully so, you know, because players want to win. Players believe that with the recruits that we have returning, with some of the recruits we're involved with now, with the class we have signed in 2019, that Tennessee basketball has the opportunity to compete for a national championship. And that being an overwhelming fact, and the second fact is kind of what I alluded to earlier, is kids want to play basketball at the highest level. And the fact that Tennessee basketball has Jordan Bone, Admiral Schofield, and Grant Williams going through the NBA process speaks to the development that goes on here. And we hammer that home. I mean, we tell kids that they're going to get better, and we're trying to recruit kids that want to get better. And it's unbelievably exciting. And one last thing is, you know, every coach in the country says that they have the best strength coach in the country. every college basketball coach brags about their strength coach. It is like the most cliche saying, we have the best strength coach in the country. This is the first time, and I've only been in the business for 4 years, but I've heard coaches, AAU coaches, high school coaches, parents say, man, you guys' strength coach must be amazing, right? They talk about the strength program here because they see Admiral Schofield's body, they see Grant Williams' body, Jordan Bone, East Pond, like these absolute Jordan Bowden, these specimens. And Garrett Madenwald, I'm going to add to the cliche, I think he's the best strength coach in the country, you know. but I've never heard parents lead the coaches into that conversation. You know, like, that is how impressive our guys look on television when people see him play.
Yeah, Kim, I was going to ask you, too, like, you're talking about recruiting players. Like, what was the selling point for you to come coach here? Was it, like, the culture, how Tennessee's become a predominantly, like, winning team? Or, like, what was it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tennessee recruited me out of high school, so I've always had an affinity for the program. I think it's a special place. I think Coach Barnes is an elite coach in the country. I think the SEC is the best conference in the country. And I love Coach Barnes. I have a good relationship with Mike Schwartz. I watched Tennessee a lot this past season. I just feel really good about the trajectory of the program. It gets my wife closer to her home of Southeast Missouri. It gets me closer to my home of Baltimore, Maryland. And a lot of things just all lined up when the opportunity presented itself. It was one that I couldn't pass up. And I've passed up other jobs the past 2 years. And this one is one I couldn't pass up.
Two more questions, Coach, and I know you have to go. Real quick, when you look at Tennessee's out-of-conference schedule next year, is that a testament to what this university, in your mind, having been here, you know, for a short time, but you've been able to look at it and talk to people about it, is that a testament of Tennessee trying to bring in more of the competition to Knoxville to showcase that? And also, is it a selling point that, hey, look, we're going to go on the road and we're going to play these teams and we're going to give you the ability to travel around the country to play the top-ranked teams in the country? What is your opinion on the out-of-conference schedule that Tennessee has lined up over the next few years?
Well, my opinion is I think Tennessee is a top-10 program in the country. I think we have a top-10 head coach in the country. And Coach Barnes is no bones about it. He wants to win a national championship. He is focused in this stage, this juncture of his career, of winning a national championship. And, you know, to be the best, you have to beat the best. To compete for SEC championships like Tennessee has done the last 2 years. They won it 2 years ago. They were right there this past season. You know, you have to have some level of preparation to play a league slate like it is the SEC, playing against Kentucky, now Texas A&M, and Florida, and South Carolina, and I mean, so many good Auburn, so many good programs. So that's what it does. You know, I think it gives us a chance to play the best. It gives us a chance for great seeding in the tournament. And I think it prepares us for the SEC. And, we're recruiting against some of the best programs in the country. And that recruiting helps if we can play them and beat them.
Coach, last question for you, and I appreciate you joining us. There's a couple of players, you've already mentioned them. You've got Admiral Schofield, Kyle Alexander, that have graduated from Tennessee and gone, but you look at it, and you have players like Grant Williams and Jordan Bone kind of testing the NBA waters. You've been through this process before. It was probably a little different back in your day when hiring an agent or, you know, not being able to do certain things, but then being able to come back to Tennessee. In your mind, and have you spoke with any of these players, and what would be kind of your advice if a guy is testing the NBA, especially looking back at your career?
You know, I've gotten to work with Grant and Admiral over the last 14 days, some on the court. You know, I'm really trying not to give too much advice because they don't know me. You know, I'm just trying to just fit in with those guys, get to know them. I give, if they ask questions, I'll give them any advice I have, but their process is their process. They have their families. They have Coach Barnes. They have agents. They have people in place that will give them, Jordan Bone and Grant particularly, will give them the best information that they can have to make the best decision. My only advice is you go into this process with the full intention of putting your best foot forward for all the NBA personnel, being yourself through this process. And when it comes time to make a decision, just simply be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. If you have a chance to get drafted high enough, you do it because it's really good guaranteed money. And if the information you're getting back, if you're honest with yourself, if it's not saying that you're going to be drafted high enough, you have an opportunity to come back to school, improve your game, and have fun. I mean, you can go on and have a great career in the NBA, but there is nothing, and I mean nothing, like playing college basketball with your friends. It's the most pure joy you'll ever experience playing basketball. It's just playing college basketball at a high level, competing for championships.
That's fantastic stuff. Coach, welcome to Knoxville. I do appreciate you coming on with us on a busy day as you close in on your house, and good luck on moving in, and welcome here, and I hope we can do this thing again, and I wish you the best of luck this summer.
Thank you guys for having me, and go Vols.
Kim, thank you so much. Assistant Coach right, Kim Inglis, Tennessee Volunteers Hoops, new hire under Rick Barnes. Great interview of going into exactly, you know, his thoughts on a lot of different things when it comes to recruiting, when it comes to what he's telling folks about certain, you know, NBA ventures in their future and what sold him on the University of Tennessee. Lots to break down. We'll talk about that on the other side when we come back. Me and Brandon got you. Hope you enjoyed that. That interview will be up soon. Appreciate Kim Inglis for coming on, and thanks, Tom, for setting that up. We'll be back on the other side. It's Optional on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Optional on Fox Sports Knoxville, rolling along on this beautiful Tuesday outside. Appreciate Kim Inglis coming on with us today. Great, had a great career in Missouri as well. Going back and looking at the numbers, man, I remember watching him. I think it's a great starting point as well for Tennessee and Rick Barnes to bring in a coach that's only 30 years old, Brandon, and being able to relate to players. And, you know, I mean, I'm not knocking the old guys, but, you know, younger coach knows about certain things that are going on campuses, and, you know, you can relate to a 22-year-old or 21-year-old easier as a 30-year-old than you can as a 65-year-old.
Right, and, I mean, he's got, like, the same experience as a lot of these guys are going to have where, you know, work real hard, get a shot in the NBA. You got to work your butt off to get there, which is kind of like, you know, Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, those kind of guys. You know, he knows what it takes. So, yeah, it's big, big hire for Tennessee. I'm glad he's here.
I think also I took away from him talking about in a sense of what do you tell these guys about coming back or going forward when it comes to the NBA. And, you know, he kind of laid it out there. He trusts the process, but also don't sell yourself, you know, in a sense of if you're getting the feedback and you can go make the millions of dollars and you know that you're going to be a first round pick compared to maybe if you don't even know you're going to get drafted, you know, why risk it? Come back and enjoy playing college basketball with your friends and enjoying the memories. I think that was pretty darn neat too. In the way he approached it. You had a great question there about selling points and what Rick Barnes sold him to come from. You know, he was at Tulsa, then he was at Colorado, and now he comes to Tennessee, you know, and previously he was at Missouri. This guy, you know, Kim's been all around. So I think that's only going to help him when it comes to what he's trying to do at Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, like you mentioned, too, he was a big-time player for Missouri. He was, like, the most outstanding player in their Big 12 tournament run.
Yeah.
And, like, looked at his stats. He shot 78% during the tournament. It's like, the dude can play.
And he can still ball with these guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I'd put my money on him for, against a lot of these guys.
Right. So it also helps, too, him going into to these players' homes. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Brian Niedermeyer. Brian Niedermeyer is a young man, and he's out there, and he's coaching Tennessee, and I think a lot of the reasons why he has success with recruiting as well is because he can relate to these players at a certain age. Like, he's still, you know, I'm not knocking anybody else, I'm saying, but he has a certain attribute about him. He's a young, good coach.
Right.
And, but you can also be a young, good recruiter because you're able, you know what these players are going through. You, they feel like they can trust you because you might be within 10 years of them or 10 to 15 years of them, and you still know what's going on in today's
right.
young society. So I think that's what's big as well. So Kim Ingles could turn in, and I'm not trying to compare football to basketball, but I will say this. Kim Ingles has an opportunity at Tennessee to go make a point when it comes to recruiting like Brian Niedermeyer has with Tennessee football.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, once again, you know, just having someone that you can relate to on a, like, he did exactly what everyone that UT is trying to recruit wants to do, you know.
Yeah.
Play really well, work hard, try to make it into the NBA. Like, he's done it. He's walked the walk.
He's only 4 years out, too.
Exactly. And it's, yeah, close enough in time where it's not much has changed in the game since he finished his career.
Yeah, I agree. So I think that was a nice hire for him, and I kind of think it, I don't want to say it took people by surprise, but I thought that was big. So we'll have that interview posted up here in just a little bit for everybody to go back and listen. Appreciate him coming on. Looking to have Tony Vitello on in the next 2 days, which would be fun. Tennessee baseball doing really well, as a matter of fact. And going into, they have a Garner Webb tonight, and then they have a series at Arkansas. It's going to be a tough one. Arkansas is a tough place to play. Especially with basketball. I mean, I'm basically basketball. Yeah, it used to be tough when it was basketball, but baseball as well. So we'll see how that turns out. We'll end up doing that. It was funny. My cousin's sitting right now in an F-16 about to take off somewhere outside of Charlotte at some Air Force base. So hopefully we get some video of that later on. I'm sure he's scared to death right now. It's only the funny things that matter. Did you watch any of the Preds game last night?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. Yeah, I'll be honest, not a big hockey guy till it gets later. Like, I don't think I've watched much hockey at all so far this postseason, even though it's been crazy. You know, both one seeds out, one got swept. The most wins in NHL history.
It's sloppy.
It's fun, though.
No. I meant what the Preds did last night. It was just sloppy.
The Preds are the perfect example of why it's easier to be the hunter than the hunted. You know, they snuck up on people when they made that run to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah.
And now they've been good. Everyone expects them to be good, and they haven't lived up to it.
No, I agree. Two Game 7s tonight. Game 7s are always fun. I don't care what sport it is. You've got Maple Leafs, Bruins, Golden Knights, Sharks. So I promise I'll be watching one of them. And then you've got NBA tonight as well, which I really don't care much about. Maybe Thunder versus Trailblazers would be fun to watch, but that's at 10:30. Like, how the hell do you expect the East Coast folks to stay up at 10:30 at night to watch some of this? I have no idea. So it completely and utterly does not rock the boat for me. Then also, I was getting back into Homeland. Told you about this, kind of getting back into Homeland a little bit. Started back on season one, but I'm only watching like 3 to 4 episodes per season just to kind of get me back into it because it's going to start back up in the fall, which I'm excited about too. Probably one of the best shows on television. You're probably not going to like this. I would put Homeland over Game of Thrones.
But have you watched Game of Thrones?
Well, no, damn it. But I'm just saying, intriguing-wise. Maybe it's because of the it's New Day type thing. Like, it's this time period and not...
You're not a big, like, Lord of the Rings kind of guy?
No.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I've seen all the Lord of the Rings. But no, not something I'd go back and watch. Like, that's 3 hours I can't get back. I enjoyed them, but I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not, I've never seen Star Trek.
Neither have I, so I'll be honest with that.
One or two Star Wars. So, you move on from it. Our buddy Jason Martin is actually at an advanced screening of Avengers Endgame right now. We were going to have him on the show, but he actually got a call and went down to, got to go, I'm not going to tell you where he went, but he got to go down and watch Avengers Endgame.
See, have you watched many of those?
I've watched a couple.
Yeah.
I got enough to. Look, I can watch.
There's like 30 of them.
I can watch the last one and figure out what's going on, to be honest with you. I just read some cliff notes.
Were you that guy in school? Like, book reports do. You would read the first chapter, two of the middle chapters, and the last chapter, and just try to piece together what happened.
Well, that was before the internet was really hot, where I can go online and get cliff notes.
Yeah. See, I was in the glory days, right? When cliff notes and all that was becoming super, super big.
I was screwed. I had to read the books. And that sucked. I mean, it is what it is. You try to find time. So, I don't know.
Kim English interview is up, by the way.
Perfect. Kim English interview is up. We'll get that posted out here in just a minute. Are you going to the draft this week? I know you have a sister in Nashville. Are you going like Saturday or Sunday?
I thought about going up there, but probably not. I'm just going to work.
Okay.
Stay at home. There's, you know, if I'm not going to be at the actual draft, being around that many people isn't my cup of tea.
Yeah. I feel you. There's nothing wrong with that. The NFL draft will kick off Thursday. Downtown Nashville looks like it looks like a Hollywood set, to be honest with you. You can call in 865-546-8200 with anything you like to talk about. But it looks so weird. Like, they made a whole new Tootsie's, like, stage setup, which is very awkward looking, that it goes out into the street. Like, it's a brand new, like, setup. It's like an extender. Look, downtown Nashville is going to be an absolute cluster over the next couple days. Be prepared for it. Have fun if you're in the mid-state, but be prepared for it. If traffic around anywhere near downtown is going to be a headache. You take an hour to get home, probably take 2 hours to get home now. I'm sorry. You got Jimmy Buffett playing. All the parrot heads will be in town. You've got stuff going on all over the city. I think it's going to be neat to watch, but I also wonder how many people get a little weary of it after the first day, after just standing around and waiting for picks to come in. Like, how much fun can it really be? Unless there's I was told also that all these big bars and venues around town, they've been bought up by the NFL and corporate suites and corporate companies. You got to pay $20 for a beer. We got a phone call.
Yeah, we got T-Carp.
So, whatever. If you're going to go enjoy it, be able to get ready to spend a lot of money in Nashville.
Always.
Now, just because of all the...
Right.
You're going to have to go off-Broadway to go to a darn bar. They've been bought up by all the NFL teams.
Mm.
I talked to one guy yesterday. And I'm not going to give free pub to the bar, but I know him. He's a bar manager. And he said one of the NFL teams bought the whole bar.
Like, for a watch party?
Rented it for the night. No, just for their team, executives, all that.
That's pretty awesome.
On a concert.
I need to get a gig working for an NFL team, I guess.
Oh, that'd be fun. Let's go to T-Carp on line one. T-Carp, what's up, buddy? Good afternoon.
So I went to one of these Nashville bars. Again, I'm not going to name. We're not giving any free pub. I didn't know that there was a dude in the bathroom that would, like, give you, like, perfume and, like, turns the handles and stuff like that. And I'm like, thank God I've got cash to give you. I didn't know you were here. So, like, what's that about, Trey? Talk to me. You're a Nashville guy.
You don't know about...
They give you mints.
The folks in the bathroom?
They got some combs
in
there.
No!
How do you not know about the folks in the bathroom?
I'm not first class.
It's not even first...
I'm not white trash either, but
It's not like first class. I mean, some of these spots, they have... I don't know the name for them. Brannigan, I don't know the name for them, but
it's like a bathroom attendant.
It's a bathroom attendant. They give you, you know, if you need some something to gargle, if you need a mint, some cologne, a towel, a fresh towel. It depends on what you eat. You come out of one of them stalls, you're sweating like a pig. You need a towel.
My thing is, I've just been big boy enough to turn my own thing and get my own towel. I just... I mean, it was nice, don't get me wrong, but I kind of felt a little pushed into giving this guy a dollar.
Well, what, were like, you alarmed when you walked into the bathroom and saw some guy in like a nice shirt and tux?
I wouldn't say it was a nice shirt, but it was just a little bit. It felt like he brought his home mess kit and, you know, put it right beside the sink and said, here you go. You know, here's this, and this. And I'm like, oh, okay.
That's what you do. I mean, I used to work at Ruth Chris when I was living in Mobile, and they had one. You know, we had a guy that chills in the bathroom and takes care of folks when they need it. They got paid good money because they got a bunch of tips.
Yeah, non-taxable income. Now, I was going to say, too, T-Carp, it's a lot like if you've been, like, to a state where they, like, do not let you pump your own gas. I was up in New Jersey driving, and the guy came out, and, like, they, like, yelled at me for trying to pump my own gas, and I looked at him. I was like, well, here's a couple bucks to tip you, I guess, but it feels weird because, like you said, get your own towel and stuff. That's how I felt pumping my own gas. Like, I've been doing it all my life.
I mean, just tip him a dollar for the mint.
Right.
It's a nice mint.
That's what I did.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I did. I didn't know. I was like, thank God I've got a dollar.
Tell him to splash him with cologne or something. I bet he would have something on his phone that could swipe that debit card the way our society is. Hey, D-Cart, what's your opinion on new assistant basketball coach Kim English?
You know, he sounded really, really good. I like the way he sounds. He sounds like a really down-to-earth guy. He's not going to BS you. And, you know, in the thing he said, you asked him, like, what would you tell Grant Williams and all this? What would you give him any advice? And the first thing he said is like, listen, I don't know. Yeah. So I feel like he's going to be a straight shooter, and I like that personally. So talk to me about Vitella. He's been, I listened to a few interviews with him. I like that guy. And I know he's winning, and everybody likes a winner. But
he was cool last year, though, when he really wasn't winning too much.
But he sounds like down to earth. But he sounds like a guy that's not going to let this whole NCAA thing slide. Like, he's really going to try to get in there and get some things done. And I like that. I like that. And a guy just doesn't put up with the NCAA BS.
Here's how I feel about that: is that it's good that he came out and said it, because what's going to happen is he's going to talk to other coaches in the conference, and don't be surprised over the next couple of weeks, other coaches in the conference start speaking the same thing in a sense. And some of them already have. But I thought that was a good platform because it came out locally. You know, it wasn't on a national stage, and then it got a lot of pub nationally for his comments. I think he is a well-spoken, great baseball coach that also does not take any crap. He understands that he got a couple of them that I don't think he necessarily knew that were going to be there for this team this year when it came to pitching. And they might not have the best infield in the world, but when you have pitching like that, it can kind of take up for what you're lacking. And I think that's a big thing for him.
Well, they were also talking about this baseball team just being really resilient, and especially playing in bad weather. Seems like all they do is just win when it's bad weather. And that makes me feel good, because what's going to happen when we've got good weather? You know, are they just going to even play even better?
Well, I agree, and I think look, what the University of Tennessee did, I got to witness it for 5 years in Nashville because of Vanderbilt's field. When they went turf at Vanderbilt, whenever I go out to some games with Chris Lee, who would cover Vanderbilt, I was always amazed at their baseball stadium because of the way that turf plays. And they were playing – look, they were playing games in weather that they shouldn't have been playing, or they were going 2 hours after bad weather moves in. That's the benefit of what they – I can promise you there would probably be 5 or 6 games for Tennessee this year that could have been washouts, that they maybe not have been able to reschedule 2 or 3 of them just because of the weather. But the field that they have allows them to play. And I think that was one of the best things that Tony Vitello – he wanted at Tennessee. Philip Fulmer, he knew that it would help the university and help the baseball team. I think that's been a very big plus for them. And also, I'll say this to add on to what Tony's doing. I was told last night by somebody that they are already submitting the NCAA regional paperwork this week to be able to host. So if Tennessee can wrap up nice And you know, go take one of three at Arkansas. You're not gonna be able to, you're not gonna sweep in Arkansas, but go take one of three out there, and then wrap up nice with the out of conference, and then Ole Miss and Florida, a couple other ones. Tennessee has a great shot of hosting an NCAA regional.
That'd be phenomenal, definitely, for the university, get some money over there, and especially for the town. One thing on the way out, and I know you might not understand this, and I talked to Brandon when I was on the phone. There is no way Brandon made it through Dr. Ferguson's English by just reading half of the book. And if you don't know, Dr. Ferguson is a legend in Blount County for how hard her English class is. And
she's
I worked my
day.
Rear end off to get a C- in that class. Let me just tell you.
This is in high school?
Yeah. Hall of Fame. Buddy. She's a Hall of Fame teacher. I didn't even know they had a Hall of Fame, but she is.
What'd she make y'all read, for God's sakes?
Everything, Trey. We did a paper every 2 to 3 days. I kid you not. It's crazy. If you can pass her English class, I made an A in my college English class, and it was nothing like her class. But anywho, just Maryville.
Teaching you boys right in Maryville.
That's right.
There you go. Thank you. Have a good day, buddy. Thanks, T-Carb. That's good stuff. What, you got strung along in English class, bro?
No. I got a C in her class. It was no joke. I think a lot of the reason I got a C was I played good at football.
So you should have got a D.
Or an F. Yeah. Based on the effort I put in, but you know, I'm a world class rider, you know, I fly by the seat of my pants.
What's the class called in high school where it's I know what it was. I got a D one time in current events.
That's all you talk about now. Who would have guessed?
Well, I was playing on the soccer team and I was kind of more focused on that, ended up getting a D, and I was like, well, I don't really like that grade, so I'm going to do this class again. Ended up getting an A, and I had it taken. Yeah, so it ended up working out. And now, all of a sudden, I'm talking about this mess nonstop. NFL Draft this week in Nashville. NASCAR Talk coming up at 2:05. If you don't like it, you better love it. It's coming up at 2:05 with Nick Bromberg. I'm excited to have it and have him on. We're back on the other side. I'm going to hit Brandon with a couple hard questions. We'll do that on the other side. It's optional. It's optional Fox Sports Knoxville rolling along here today. Okay, we have news coming out about Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft's spa video footage will not be released publicly until a jury is seated or the case is dropped, settled per a judge's ruling on Tuesday. You know what that means? Once the case is done, once they either A, drop the charges, or B, they figure out what they're going to do with his, you know. Look, if they settle and say, hey, you can plead not guilty, okay, this is going to get, the evidence is sealed until the jury is seated. So why they're doing this, they don't want a potential jury to see the video before they get seated at the trial.
Yeah. This whole thing is ridiculous. What a waste of taxpayer dollars.
I kind of agree now.
Like, at this point, it's, what are we doing?
I'll say this, Brent. If they'd have steadily moved this thing along at first and then figured out, hey, what they wanted to do, okay, I could see it. But now, I mean, what, we're 2 months into this thing pretty much?
Yeah, and they gave him the offer of, we'll drop it if you agree that you're guilty. But now that he didn't, they're like, oh, okay, well, it's a joke. It's a joke.
And
if you, no one wants to see that.
And the judge,
I don't want to see that.
And the judge has ruled that the video won't be released until the jury is seated or the case is dropped or settled. So that's a judge's ruling. So what this says is, though, one way or the other, in the next 3 to 4 months, there's a video of Robert Kraft that's going to get released. And I promise you, the first people that will probably have it are TMZ.
I was going to bet on John Reed and Cody McClure. But yeah, you're probably right.
They will have it. TMZ will have that video.
For the better,
they will pay an exorbitant amount of money for that video.
For the betterment of humanity, they shouldn't release that video.
Well, they don't care. You know how many clicks they'll get?
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, oh, no one wants to see that.
No, nobody wants to see that. The Seahawks have agreed to trade their franchise player defensive end Frank Clark to the Kansas City Chiefs for a 2019 first round pick.
Once again,
a 2020 second round pick in exchange of third round picks this year. Wow.
I don't even know who Frank Clark is.
There you go.
Probably because he plays in Seattle and he's not named Russell Wilson.
They just got a first round pick.
Good for them. I guess you got to start offloading some salaries after you backed up the Brinks truck to keep Russell Wilson there.
Ross Tucker put it nicely. The Chiefs give up a first and a second for the right to pay Frank Clark the money the Seahawks didn't want to.
Exactly. They got to free up some cap space now. They wouldn't be able to field a roster.
That is torture.
Do you think there's a condition in his contract with the Chiefs where they're like, if we're in the AFC Championship game at home against the Patriots and you line up offsides for no reason, we don't have to pay you?
Wait, what?
Like D Ford did? They got rid of him.
Oh, that's true.
They're just like, we will not pay you if you line up offsides and blow the AFC Championship game for us.
That tends to make sense. Okay, I kind of forgot about that part. So it was interesting. Hey, what'd you do last night? I forgot to ask you.
Just worked.
Always ask.
Just worked.
Nobody famous?
Nope. No famous people in Maryville.
Phil didn't come in?
Nope. Coach.
Have you seen Phil in a while?
I have not. He's been a busy guy as of late. Well, busy guy running around.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Whatever. It's off season now. So spring meetings happen at Destin where the coaches go down there and they just hang out and chat and sip margaritas on the beach. It's all good. Come back on the other side. Wrap up first hour. Nick Bromberg joins us hour number two. Taking your phone calls as well. 865-546-8200. NFL draft starts Thursday night in Nashville. Try and dig what we all just as I thought it was. Hobson on Fox Sports Knoxville rolling along here in this 1 o'clock hour. Coming up next, right at the top, Nick Bromberg is going to join us. We're going to talk Dega, NASCAR troubles, the future of any kind of series in Nashville. Where the sport has gone wrong, you know what? We're going to kind of do something, too, kind of interesting. We're going to take calls as well. If you have questions for Nick, 865-546-8200. Should be a fun segment. I look forward to it. I kind of just wanted to go full NASCAR with him for a minute. Sure, that pisses off Brandon a little bit, but that's fine. It really doesn't
matter. I'm not opposed. I don't know much about it, but like I said, if I went to a race, I'm sure I'd have a great time. Chance does not like NASCAR.
Well, I could care less, to be honest with you. Sounds like a personal problem. Got to move on from that one. It'll be good. Did you also know that the Nashville Marathon is this weekend?
What a disaster. Where are they going to run?
I guess downtown.
Just take them to a track, make them run 120 laps.
They're running downtown. Somewhere around the, I don't know. There's so much stuff going on. I have no idea how. If you're looking for parking will be $50.
Yeah,
parking will be $50 without a doubt.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess.
How do you get? So it's free as well to go down on Broadway and watch. Okay, Brandon, here's the question. Let's say you're living in Nashville. You have to think this out. Don't even say yes or no yet. Somebody says, hey, man, you want to go down to the draft Thursday night? Get to experience everything, see what it's like, all that stuff. We don't have to stay for the whole thing, but would you want to go down to Broadway and kind of hang out?
I'd probably go check it out, yeah.
Yeah.
If I lived there.
Right. So I think that's a lot of the opinions of folks that live in the city. It's like, okay, I'm going to go check this out. I mean, you know, it's fun for the kids, maybe Friday afternoon and Saturday for the parents to take their kids to the NFL experience at Nissan Stadium.
In the daytime.
Right. Let them go see that, you know, everything that's going on down there and experience it. But also, it's going to be a cluster.
Like, think of how bad Knoxville gets during UT games.
Yeah.
It will be like that. Nashville's bigger, so it won't be quite.
There'll be over 300,000 people downtown.
Oh, it's going to be insane.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm not trying to take it away. I think it'd be a fun time for folks to go experience something like that. And
it's too bad the Preds didn't push it to 7. And they could have everything.
What was last night? Last night was
Game 6.
Monday. So they would have probably played.
I guess they would have
2 days off. Because they played Saturday. So yeah. 2 days off, they'd have played Wednesday.
Yeah.
They'd have played the night before everything got started. God, can you imagine if they'd have played Thursday night?
That's what I'm saying.
Can you imagine if they'd have played a Game 7 along with the NFL draft going on? Oh, my God. I thought Jimmy Buffett concert was going to be crazy down there. Think about it, the Preds. But the Preds didn't care. That was besides Pekka last night. That was just bad all around. Nick Bromber is going to join us, start of the 2 o'clock hour. I'm excited for this. NASCAR talk. You got questions, DM me. If you want to call in and talk to Nick, do it. It's coming up soon. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. I'm a rebel just for kicks. I've been feeling it since 1966.